patches of October 10th, 1999, where the Resnick Rivers parking lot, I guess it's, I don't know what the hell it is, Sherman and Boone parking lot now. Hi, Patches.
Hi, Robert.
Patches, you said that you've got a sty in your eye sliced by a doc and didn't do too well without an anesthetic.
No anesthetic involved, just went in and sliced it. And so I went through a little suffering with that. Wasn't real impressed about the way his bedside manner was. And inland doctors, I'm really disappointed that Dr. Wong isn't there anymore, because she really paid attention to us. So I had two nurses out of the healthcare center at River Street come and find me and let me know I have pneumonia. Now, this is a week later, after they had run the test.
You said you already knew you had pneumonia?
I already knew I had pneumonia.
How did you know?
Because I was throwing out so much phlegm and I couldn't breathe. And so when I went into Emmeline, they ran the tests and did my kidney, all the tests they could run. And a week later, they come and run and track me down and tell me I have pneumonia, and then told me to hold on.
Hold on. They didn't offer you a warm place to stay?
Not a warm
place.
Didn't
offer you an antibiotic?
No antibiotics.
Didn't offer you an appointment with a doctor until a week and a half later?
Which would be a week and a half from this coming Monday, and I have pneumonia. Mm-hmm. So
thank goodness for the hot weather.
Thank goodness for that, and thank goodness that I found a safe camping place, but we're paying for that up in Boulder Creek, because there's no safe camping place around Santa Cruz anywhere, unless you pay, and you can't pay for it around here anyway. But if you're out on the street and you're sleeping on concrete, you're going to get sick in this weather. And that's what happened. And it escalated and escalated, and it got to the point that I thought that it was touch and go yesterday, that I was going to have to do a 911. And it scared me. It scared me. I didn't know what to do.
You've been 911 a couple times recently?
When I had the seizure and the heart attack in the parking lot of New Leaf a month and a half ago. And they did real well with me on that, but then just cut me loose and told me, deal with it. So that's basically where it's at. But how can the hospital come and tell you you have pneumonia and then just let you be on the street and not give you any help or any medical advice of what to do and make a doctor's appointment for you at Emmeline a week and a half later and you have pneumonia? I don't understand.
Now, is this the only element, or was there, you were looking for a particular doctor?
Yes, I was. I was looking for Dr. Young. And he doesn't do urgent care. Mm-hmm. I mean, he does urgent care, but it's on whatever date in Dayton. And
so would they have given you a sooner appointment if you said, get me to any doctor?
Yes, they would have done that.
So why don't you do that, since you've got pneumonia?
I'm going to do that tomorrow. That's Tuesday, because tomorrow's a holiday. And I'm going to have to. But there's just certain doctors up there that don't pay attention. I'm 50 years old. It's not like I don't know what's happening with my body. And I tried to explain to him that day that I felt like I was dying, that I couldn't breathe, which I couldn't. I couldn't breathe. I was gasping for air. And they told me, we'll come back. Nothing's wrong with you. And then a week later, they come and have them track me down and tell me I have pneumonia. Well, hello. I knew that.
But at least you don't have dysentery from eating at Taco Bell. I heard that Taco Bell has evicted you for sitting over 15 minutes, even though you were a customer.
Yes, we were eating. I wasn't even finished eating. And my husband and I were sitting there eating. And it was over a 15-minute limit, so they told us that we couldn't come back. We're 86 out of there, and I asked the people there, the manager there, well, are you going to do that to your tourist customers? And he had no reply to that.
What was the name of the manager?
Greg.
And when was this?
2.5 weeks ago.
And were you drunk, abusive, or in any other way about to have a seizure on the floor?
No, not at all. In fact, I clean up the place. The birds eat the food. I clean up the trays. I clean up any trash around there. All that. I've never been, in fact, I've been overly, probably kind. And I'm finding that you know, people don't appreciate that.
Did he say any reason why you were being...
No, we were just over 15 minutes. Couldn't sit there over 15 minutes. And that's why I said, I asked him, well, if your tourist was sitting here over 15 minutes eating, because I wasn't finished eating. And he didn't have any reply to it.
Have you heard of anybody else being evicted for this reason?
The people that they know that are out here, that are homeless, they will do that too.
And you know of anyone specifically?
Yeah, I do, but I'd rather not go.
How many people would you estimate this has happened to that you know of?
Three or four.
And are these people eccentric or violent in their habits?
No, in fact, they're older people. We aren't even talking about youngsters that are hanging around and all that. I mean, we've been going there for 5, 6, 7 years, you know, drinking coffee. You drink your coffee or whatever, and it's never happened before. And it's just this one specific person, Greg, that's happened.
Have you filed a complaint with the owner or manager?
No, in fact, I have his name in my backpack. It's Robin something, and I've thought about doing that, but if I do that, then I have repercussions coming from that. If I push things too far, I have to watch my repercussions from those people wanting to go ahead and push the issue.
Maybe there'd be a good repercussion, particularly if you had an attorney do it for you.
I would be more than willing.
Really? Well, I'll talk to this guy who used to be good with civil rights issues and see if he's up for a return appearance. Anything more you want to add, Patches?
I noticed, though, that since I've got on the air a couple times, that the police officers around here have been more... There's been two police officers that were harassing me that have got all the way up off of me and are more than kind, which makes me very leery.
So your new fame is bringing you tolerance, eh?
Scary tolerance.
Scary tolerance. We'll have to keep advised on this. Anything else?
No, I think that's about it for right now.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you, Robert.
Tell me about the camping prices up in Boulder Creek.
If you have a disabled card, it'll cost you $3.50 a night, and it's an 8-people capacity. And if you do not have a disabled card, it's $17 a night.
What's the place? Is it a state park? Or?
It's a state park.
Okay. Thank you.
And they have been very, very kind about that. But you only have 30 days, and then you have to be out a day, and then you have another 30 days that you can stay.
Total of 60 days a year, or as long as you want?
If somebody doesn't rent it.
I see. So you can only do it 60 days a year. Can you do it every month out of day?
Every month out of a day, as far as I'm concerned, I haven't investigated that too much.
I think it's actually less, but maybe they've changed it back.
So as far as I know, you can stay there 30 days, and then if they don't want to rent to someone else. So right. They have the option if they want to rent to you or not. And as long as you're, you know, like, mellow and all that, and we're older people, so we don't cause any havoc or anything like that. But you can cook there, you can do, you know, most anything that's appropriate. And
some things that aren't appropriate.
And some things that aren't appropriate, probably, as long as you're private about it.
Right.
But, out here, work in Santa Cruz, there's nowhere that you can do that. There's nowhere.
We have splendid motels that you can go to, I suppose.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I asked that. When they came and told me I had pneumonia, I said, well, what about CAB?
Community Action Board?
Yes. I said, well, you're coming and telling me I'm almost dying, you know, close to it if I let it go, and you can't arrange something for me with CAB?
You know, there was a Community Action Board member at the Homeless Issues Task Force, so last Monday that you spoke to called Paul Brindell, and did he talk to you about any of this stuff while you were in the room?
No, I wasn't familiar with who he was or...
Right.
No. No.
Well, anything else?
No one at the... I don't know if you want to do this, but anyone there, I felt like it was a whole political bullshit.
The Homeless Issues Task Force seemed to you to be indifferent to reality?
Yeah, to the reality of it, and I feel like they're just putting a mask and a face and a facade on things. They aren't checking the reality of the whole thing.
That was my view at the beginning.
I might be wrong.
You said you're right.
I just, I didn't feel like they should get angry at people that were speaking reality of what was really happening.
Did you feel angry?
Yeah, I felt some anger and frustration in there. Plus, I felt the board member, not sure her name, was very weak. And
what, the one who was running the meeting?
Mm-hmm.
Linda LeMaster?
I don't know her name. But was very weak at even having control of the situation, of having control of the meeting. And there was a gentleman on my left, sitting on my left, that was very strong in his opinions, very strong in what he was saying. And I had more trust in him than I did. I don't know his name. I don't know what his name was. But
big guy with a beard?
I felt like he was more
Paul Brindell,
supportive or more realistic about the whole thing than someone's running the whole show, or supposed to be running, or pretend she's running the whole show.
Check it out. Thank you.
You're welcome.
October 7th at 2:34 p.m.
Yeah, Robert, this is Doug. I said that more about my friend. He had spent the last 90 days in jail. He actually got a trespassing ticket for sleeping on the front porch of the homeless center that he wouldn't find, so they put him in jail for 30 days. When he went to court, they dropped the charges. He got out tonight. On the front porch, he wouldn't sign the ticket. They put him in jail. And then 30 days later, he went to court again. They dropped the charges, but the judge ordered him not to go back and trespass there anymore. So he suspected after 11 o'clock at night, when he's still not allowed on church groups, that would just be a camping ticket, not trespassing. So he went back, and then at midnight, John Pilkington called the police on him for trespassing for the third ticket. And spent another 30 days in jail. He didn't sign it also. But he was found in violation of the judge's order and put on 1 year probation. I'll probably call you on your show tonight and talk to you about it more then. Anyway, it's retribution for complaints. This guy actually, he's that First Amendment guy that fell in the forest and no one heard him. He didn't sign the tickets and still went to jail. He was, he's a Mahatma Gandhi type peaceable. Okay, well, just arrest me. He's not going to argue even in anyone's face. He does all this extremely passively. I'll talk to you about it on the show. It's amazing. Bye-bye.
Thursday, October 7th at 8:17 p.m.
Hi, Robert. It's Thursday evening. I just had a quick message for you. Couple of things here. Rent control at Santa Cruz has been endorsed by the Berkeley Rent Stabilization Board. I got a copy of their resolution today. Got a call from Christopher Crone while I was out. He left a rather interesting message, and he prefers not to aberrate. I thought that word was interesting. Aberrate the process. He prefers not to aberrate the process. So Mr. Crone, who prefers not to aberrate the process, is not going to endorse rent control at this time. I made a very slight effort to be proactive with three of the council members, Sugar, Crone, and Fitzmaurice. Fitzmaurice called me and left his voicemail number as a return when I got back, so I called it. But anyhow, rent control is on a good roll, and things are, I think, going to move along very well, and I think it's got a good shot at the ballot, and I personally like the waves that it's creating. It's been very interesting to watch the progressives degress. Take care, Robert.
Thursday, October 7th at 8:22 p.m.
This is Bob again. I just wanted to say that I'm going to refrain, at least for the time being, from public comments regarding the reaction to rent control by the progressives. Your progressives, by the way, Mr. Norris, your progressives, until hopefully this thing is achieved ballot status, which is probably going to be, if there's enough to qualify, it'll have been counted by sometime in late November, early December. So I'm going to refrain till then, but other than in the abstract, I might have some comments to make, but nothing direct. But I have, it's all very, very, very predictable, extremely predictable. But this is Millennium Politics leadership in Santa Cruz. And these are your progressives, Mr. Norris, and I find it incredibly predictable, as I said. But as far as I'm concerned, what I can say is that outreach was done, and the response, at least from one of these leaders, was extremely predictable, and I find the language extremely entertaining. So Mr. Crohn does not want to aberrate the process by inserting his political clout into it, which is about as absurd as it gets. So what Mr. Crohn says, essentially, is that until there's a bandwagon that is essentially non-stoppable, he's nothing better than a worthless pollstered hack. And that is absolutely off the record for your ears only, Mr. Norris. But talk to you soon. Take care. Of course, give me a buzz anytime. Bye.
Friday, October 8th at 10:27 a.m.
I cannot remember if I left you a message about this already. I appreciate your messages updating us on the rent control. I think that's a good thing. A good thing to keep the city council informed about where the status is and who's endorsing it and stuff. I think I left you a message, if I didn't, forgive me, but I'm choosing not to endorse at this time. I really think that when it gets to the council, it's up to the council to make a decision, and I prefer not to aberrate that process, I guess. I think it's really difficult. It sounds like you're well on your way to having something, and I would really like the council to deliberate on this, and without coming in with some, you know, the appearance that council members have been like big advocates of this. And
I thought you'd like a copy of that, but keep it in-house. Keep it to yourself, I hope. But I found it incredibly interesting, and talk to you later. Bye.
And Friday, October 8th at 5:10 p.m.
Hi, Robert. This is Madeline Weaver calling. Doug and I are really sorry we can't make the meeting tonight. We're working on this house, and we're all on a roll. We've got to paint while the weather's still good, and we're still having more to do on a back cottage and a garage, so we have a lot of work to do. We just can't make it, but so we wanted to let you know, he left a message on your machine yesterday about Robert, who at the shelter called us. Well, the reason we couldn't do anything about the radio we were working last night was until, you know, we heard part of you, and then we had to go out in front, and we just couldn't hear anymore. But we didn't go on the radio with this information because we want to make sure that Robert is safe, and that there won't be any repercussions behind anything. He did say, you know, it was okay to share this, but it happened right after we left. This happened to him, and we were kind of a go-between before him, and we stopped working down there. It happened, and last time I spoke to him, he said he was ready to make formal complaints about how he was being treated at the shelter, and then we left, you know. That was after, and then after we left, that's what he said, then right after we left, and then that's when it happened to him, that he was arrested 3 times. And did a total of like 90 days being made into a criminal and having a year's probation now because of what the place that's supposed to help him did to him. And the staff that did it to him didn't even think to even, I don't even know, but nobody else, supervisor or higher up seemed to know where he was. So obviously that staff that had him arrested those 3 times didn't share it with their supervisors or Ken Cole. I don't know. I haven't to know, but they didn't seem to know where Robert was, so it's obvious that this was just their thugs doing their thing. So, Will, we need to talk more, and what we want to do is make sure that he is safe, and then we will go forward with it. I don't know, we need to find a place for him to be. They're not letting him on the church group, so, you know, we need to go check and see what's happening. He said, and the last time, his belongings weren't all scooped up the last time he went to jail, so he didn't even have a sleeping bag. Doug suggested he go ask Mike Bustos if he could get him a sleeping bag. And so I don't know if that happened yet. That would have happened hopefully today, maybe yesterday. He was talking yesterday. So in any event, I don't want to get more lengthy about this. We'll talk in person, but we're not going to let this one slide. This is a fine example.
End of message. To repeat, press 1. Yesterday at 2:55 p.m.
Hello, Robert. This is James. Actually, I was calling Becky. I didn't have her phone number handy with me. I'll go find her number and call that number and see. In case she hears this message, I'm at home. It's James. And just waiting for the kitty to show up. She's out catting. And three of the cats are here. She's not. Webby's not. As soon as they show up,
And
I'll make arrangements to come down there, but I'm going to go find her number. Talk to you guys later. Bye. Today at 4:58 p.m. Hi, Robert. This is for you and anybody you know. There's been a report on BBC Shortwave, and I pass it on for what it's worth, that the radiation thing in Japan is much more serious than they're letting on, and they suggest the following precautions. First, to stay indoors as much as possible. It's hitting the coast of California right now as I speak, and the cloud or whatever, and it will be continuing, they figure, for about a week. So that's what all this applies to, the next week or so. Stay indoors whenever you can, and in addition, that's the one I would pay least attention to, because I think the air you're breathing, is you're going to get it indoors or outdoors. But the following dietary things may be worth doing. One is to eat apples in any way, shape, or form. Raw apples to apple pie, apples vinegar, apple cider, apple jack, everything. For the pectin, which protects against radiation. Iodine, and the way I would suggest to do that is to get kelp tablets at the health food store. Siberian ginseng, ditto. I don't think you can OD. They say I'd take a third of a teaspoon a day. I think you probably should just take a handful of, get a tub of them and get a handful of them every day for the next few days. And finally, miso, fermented. You know what miso is. Pass the word, and if you need to get back to me for any reason, or anyone does, call me at 454-9392. Uncle Tom. Bye-bye.
It's October 11th, 1999. We're at the Homeless Services Center about 10 to 3 talking to
Ben.
And Ben, you have some news for us about one of your favorite police officers.
Yeah, Mr. Robo, David Perry.
Yes.
One time he confronted a guy who was living under a bridge. He said, get out from underneath my bridge. His name was Denny. Was Denny, excuse me. Mm-hmm. He says, the next time I come by here, I'm just going to throw your stuff in the street. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened. And the guy died 2 weeks later of exposure.
You remember what year this was?
This was this year.
Remember what month?
No, not exactly, but this would be towards the end of winter. It was cold, it was rainy.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember where this, what bridge we're talking about?
Not exactly. I think it was under the fish hook.
We're talking about the...
Well, you have to go, the island. Like, go over the highway, go through the island. They call it the island. And then up to the top there, I believe it was a fish hook. Yeah, it was.
Fish hook?
Yeah. Under it.
Okay. And any new instances of Officer Perry's... I know that he's been warning people, or perhaps ticketing people as they walk across to Denny's.
You mean the bridge here? Well, they all do that. You know, it's just another harassment thing. You know, like to walk around takes another mile and a half or so.
Yeah.
They're talking about putting a footbridge there, but I'm sure that would be about the year 2010.
Pontoon bridge might be good in the meantime.
Whatever. I walk through the water. I don't walk on it.
We're hoping.
Sainthood is in store, you know.
Any other episodes involving... How's Officer Seeley doing down here?
Officer Seeley's another one.
After Adnia.
But we're going to hear about that from you in a moment.
He handcuffs me and searches me every time he sees me.
Really? And how many times has that happened?
Twice.
You have a search clause?
He's a fire. Yeah.
And what was the crime for which, if you don't mind talking about it?
Oh, paraphernalia.
And?
3 years old.
And the last time he searched you was?
About a month ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you feel that this is, I mean, has there been, have been rumors? Have you been seen shooting up in the back of the hoo-ha?
No, I think it's simple. Well, here's a guy, you know, he's on his butt. Let's take advantage of his situation. Basically, that's what I feel, yeah. Is it and not, he goes out of his way.
And you know. So have you, I guess, have you heard of this happening to other people as well?
Oh, yeah, quite a few. Homeless people embarrass the tourists. My feeling there. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a guy without a suit on or something, or he doesn't own a sport utility vehicle. I see people, you know, they're jogging and stuff, going across the bridge. I see people in their RVs, parking everywhere they want to. But if you're a homeless person, you're a target.
Have there been any instances of violence or camping tickets recently?
No, not personally, I haven't, no.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to say to the greater Santa Cruz community?
Yeah, everybody that moved here from San Jose and thinks it's their home now should leave and go back. Everybody that brought their bad attitudes and all their money over here, you know, that's the problem here. I lived here 46 years. It's just an entirely different town. Entirely different. There's just no, everything's restricted. There's a rule or a law or a sign saying no to everything here. And it's for the tourists and for the yuppies. Now, you know, I'm sorry I don't make $60,000 a year. Of course, you can't buy a house unless you make 80 or 90.
Or more.
$366,000 median price. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought a house for $9,800 back in 1964, but you expect it to go up some, but that's bizarre. The same house, minus 3 acres, just went for, and had 5 acres to begin with, went for $381,000. Actually, that was 6 years ago.
The prices are risen.
I think the whole thing's just out of hand. And the people who own property, why should they care? You know, they're just, you don't pay rent here, it's usury.
What do you think of the protest downtown tomorrow against the sleeping ban? Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
I'll give you a flyer about it.
Okay.
Anything else that you want to add?
Not really. It would just be probably overblown and vindictive. I don't want to be, you know, I really don't want to sound like I'm just another person whining a lot.
Well,
I've been 27 years in a trade, and I can barely make $8 to $10 an hour.
What kind of trade is that?
I'm a painter, mm-hmm. Sheetrock. It's like, come on, $8 to $10 an hour, and then I got to go. I've seen studios go for $900, $2,200, $2,300 moving costs on almost anything. You know, it's just.
It's not whining to issue genuine complaints about people's basic life survival needs being ignored.
Right, yeah. Now, survival need here is a privilege.
For the privileged.
It's for the privileged, yeah. Yeah, I just think it's just really gone out of hand. I've lived here all my life, man, and I used to love Santa Cruz, and I dislike it now. My grandfather helped build that church there.
And you're pointing to the St. Francis?
I'm kidding, the Holy Cross.
Holy Cross.
Yeah. And my great-grandfather helped, you know, they both worked on it. Helped dig the tunnel underneath it. My great-grandfather had a butcher shop on Pacific Avenue. I go back that way. My mother was born on Parsons Street. My grandmother was born in Davenport. My grandfather was born in Felton. So, you know, and so I know the history of this town. It's been a very laid-back. Actually, somebody at the Good Times once referred to back when Santa Cruz was a seedy little beach town. And the guy I called him up, I said, well, he's lived there 7 years.
Right.
You know, and it wasn't seedy. It was a laid-back little place where people could come and it's a little more diverse and stuff. So everybody found out about it. Now the wealthy showed up, or the nouveau rich, actually, and they brought their bad manners, their ill-tempered children, and all their money along, and now it's, you know, what are you doing here?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Jessica? Jessica, you actually were running for a board position, and you've been you're a homeless mom?
Yes, I am.
And how long have you been in Santa Cruz?
A year.
And you've got some rather hair-raising things to tell us. Why don't you raise our hair?
Okay, my kids got taken away approximately a month and a half after my youngest child was born. And he was, we had to take him 3 weeks earlier because of a blood disorder I have, which was causing him to be anemic. They blamed his anemia on me saying I wasn't feeding him enough. They blamed his pneumonia on me saying I wasn't keeping him warm enough, which wasn't true. I had help keeping him warm. I had extra blankets, kept 2 layers of clothes on him, stuff like that. They said I didn't give my daughter medication, which I was giving her. Mm-hmm. And they said I was keeping my kids in unfit living conditions. Right. And also, my son was diagnosed with failing to thrive. My little sister's daughter was also diagnosed as failing to thrive for basically the same thing. They were gaining weight, but not fat weight to where you can visibly see them gaining weight. So
were you living outside at the time?
I was in a temporary shelter at this time, mm-hmm. and the house had to close for repairs. And I, at the time my son got sick was the time I was supposed to go to my, go somewhere else. And I ended up having to stay in a motel, and they said that
Santa
was...
Santa Cruz area?
Santa Cruz area.
What was the shelter that closed? What was it called?
JMJ. Okay. And Jesus, Mary, and Joseph Home. Mm-hmm. And so I was in a motel. They said that was unfit living conditions for a newborn baby. When the motel I was at has 10 other families living there mm-hmm. with young children. Mm-hmm. And I'm no... I feel that families that have... had CPS involvement when they were children.
Child Protective Services?
Child Protective Services involved in their, when they were children, are going to constantly have CPS involved in their lives. Rest of, when they have children, their children's going to be involved.
So you suggest because you've had this involvement when you were a child?
Yeah, that I'm going to be played. And CPS is, I think, welfare's way of getting women off welfare and giving wealthy families children and keeping people homeless is now, what I feel.
Now, how old is your child now?
I got a 15-month-old daughter and a 2.5-month-old son. I get 3 hours a week with my son. My son doesn't know who I am. And that hurts because I've always wanted a son. And my son got taken away because I took him to the hospital because he was sick. Mm-hmm. And they said I wasn't taking care of him properly. I didn't know what was wrong with my son, so if I wasn't medically taking care of my son, why did I take him to the doctors? Is my question.
How what kind of an illness did he have?
Pneumonia, and he had severe anemia uh-huh. because of a blood disorder I had when I was pregnant that they knew 5 months before I had him that he was going to have.
And so is there any chance of you getting back your son?
Yeah, if I get a job and a place to live, but I can't get a house making $5.75 an hour. They want me to have a two-bedroom house.
Are you working?
No, I can't get a job. For the fact, they say I have a mental illness. I have to go through all the psychiatric evaluation before I can do anything. I've got so many appointments during the day, I can't even go look for a job right now. They have me going through hoops, but yet they say, well, you have to do this, but you also have to go look for a job and get a place to live.
Now, you talked earlier today at the meeting where there was an election of the new board member, the homeless board member of the Homeless Services Center, or I should say, recommendation from the Homeless Services Center community to the board as to who they want to be put forward, that you wanted to form perhaps a new group concerned about affordable housing?
Yeah, instead of making more affordable housing, make more low-income housing. Because not everybody makes $1,200 a month. They afford affordable housing. Make more low-income, have the churches put money in for low-income apartment complexes. So people with family, young mothers like myself and my little sister, can get up on our feet to get our children back. Because they're being unfair to me because I'm 22, I'm homeless, and my kids have been sick basically from birth, both of my children.
Well, Betty, as the younger sister to this woman, is she lying to us?
No, she's not. My daughter was failure to thrive, not gaining weight, but gaining weight constantly like I was. She dropped weight. The doctor did not check to find out if she was anemic or not at birth. He put her on low iron formula. She threw it up. She could hit you from a 4-foot distance from puking. I took her in several occasions. He said, oh, you're feeding her too much. I said, let's change her formula. He says, no.
Well, who's named the doctor?
Dr. Kenneth Bloom over at Santa Cruz Medical Clinic.
Do not take your children to Dr. Halpern, because he's one of the reasons I got my kids taken away.
Steve Halpern?
Yes, Stephen Halpern. He gave me a prescription and told me if my daughter's temperature don't spike up, don't fill the prescription. So that's what I did. My daughter didn't spike a temperature that night.
And was he involved in taking away your child, or was it simply the doctor on the...
No, the prescription that he wrote was one of the reasons my kids got taken away from me.
Go ahead, Betty.
The other doctor is Dr. Block over at the Dominican Rehabilitation Pediatrics Unit. He told the foster mother to give my daughter a dose of Tylenol, infant's Tylenol, before giving shots. I was in trouble for administering Tylenol to an infant because she was having a fever.
So your child has been taken away from you?
Yes.
How old is your child?
My daughter is 7 months old today.
And happy birthing day.
Yeah.
What are you doing then? What kind of, under what circumstances can you get her back?
They told me the beginning of my court, I had to be in my mother's home. CPS changed theirs saying and said I had to be out of my mother's home in order to get my daughter back because my mother was an alcoholic, which they could not prove.
So what are the requirements for you to get your daughter back?
The requirements are for me to have a job, prove I have a loving home for her, and I can have her back.
Time to move to Fresno, huh?
Yeah. Or Bakersfield. Bakersfield's better than it is here.
Anything else you guys want to add?
I only see my daughter once a month because CPS will not put out the money for my uncle to come down.
Where does your uncle live?
Sacramento. And they will not bring my daughter back to me down here where it's easier for me to see her. I get a 2-hour visit once a month if I'm lucky for that 2 hours.
Yeah, they want me to give up custody of my kids because they think I'm emotionally unstable, because they think I'm manic depressive. Yeah, I have a depression problem, but I managed to deal with it so I can take care of my kids. They want me to give up custody of my kids to my stepfather, who has abused me all my life.
What kind of abuse?
Physical, mental, and emotional.
But not sexual?
No. And my fucking stepfather walks around his house in a pair of underwear. And they want to send my kids down to that.
So are you interested in letting the folks out there know about... Are you seriously interested in forming an organization, or is that still just a thought?
That's just serious. We need to get an organization that helps parents, whether they're on the street or in housing, keep their kids. And get housing going for the families that are on the street, for the senior citizens that are on the street, the people that really need it. The people that don't need it are getting the housing.
Now, do you have a phone number that people can call you at?
Yeah, 457-9754, box 1161. Where's two? 1161.
So that's 457-9754, 1161 to reach. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you, Billy.
You're welcome.
Go ahead.